I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you want your created purpose fulfilled? If so, if the answer is yes, then prepare for the pain. It's kind of just the opposite. For here's the thing that we need to face. All creation was subjected to God's curse. We seem to forget where we're living sometimes. But with eager hope, groaning as in the pains of childbirth, because that's the kind of eager, painful hope it is, right up to the present. Look at all these caveats. Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, okay? We just long to be released, to be freed from sin and suffering. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So what'll it be? The hopeful pain of birth or the hopeless pain of death? Pick your pain. Because we all have pain. Okay, well, we're coming full circle. I'm excited about today, full circle in our little mini series on Joseph. In fact, I realize as I'm writing this one, we've come three full circles. Here's the first. The first is the obvious. We are back where we started, because if you recall, we began this series with little Joe longing to be released from Potiphar's prison. And we wanted to see everything that led up to it. And so we started there and then we flashed back to everything that's come to this point. So here we are again. Little Joe longing to be released from Potiphar's prison. And the eager hope that he had been given. This is where we started. After attending and befriending Pharaoh's innocent cup-bearing butler. And remember then also the guilty baker. But Joseph asked his new bestie royal butler to remember me. Just a simple request. Remember me. And mention me to Pharaoh. And get me out of this prison. Right? Now, what's cool is this word for prison, it's used 8 times. We translate it prison because he's locked up in it. But it literally is roundhouse. It just says, get me out of this roundhouse. Because it's most likely the layout of the prison with cells around the perimeter. That's our second full circle. The actual prison where Joseph is, it's a full roundhouse. He says, for I was forcibly carried off. You remember when the Ishmaelites kidnapped him? From the land of the Hebrews. You know, he'd say, where my brothers betrayed me and sold me into slavery. And even here, unjustly imprisoned, I have done nothing, you know, of which the missus has falsely accused me to deserve being put in a dungeon. He changes the word. Only him, right here, he calls it a pit, a well, cistern. It's the same word on purpose. It's the same word as the word used, the brothers' pit, where it all began. And he says, well, here I am again. Well, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph, because that's how it works down here. He forgot him. In fact, he forgot all about him. And we talked about that. Remember, for those 2 full years, remember we had a whole message about the white space there. He forgot him when 2 full years had passed. Oh, the empty space, right? The full years of empty, hopeless waiting, unaware of all God was preparing. For the God of Jacob, that's his dad, established it for a testimony in Joseph among all the royals that were coming and going in the royal prison. For later, for when he later would go throughout the land of Egypt. There was a purpose in that pit. But why 2 full years in the prison? Because the promise isn't an easy life, but a full life, purposeful, meaningful, joyful, hopeful, and peaceful. And all of those fools are found and founded in faith in that empty space. Because all that time serving others while serving time was serving to fulfill his wildest dreams, because the one fool he wasn't was pitiful. But for Joseph, it was full circle. This is our third full circle is Joseph's horrible full circle, because as I said, he alone describes his current confinement with the word, the specific word used to describe his former pit where his brothers betrayed him back. And we looked at that back when they took him and threw him into the boar, it's called, the pit, without any water. It's the old waterless pit trick. And now Joseph's master took him and threw him into the roundhouse that Joseph calls the boar, the pit. But this one's where the king's prisoners were confined. And he put all the prisoners under Joseph's care, because he was the best caregiver, because the Lord was with Joseph. He was with him. And you know why? It's because Joseph didn't leave the Lord when he went in the prison. And whatever he was doing, caring for others in the prison, the Lord was making successful in a pit, in a palace, in a box with a fox. And now in, I thought she was a cougar. And now in a dungeon. And this success right here, not all the big stuff that's to come. See, we've left that out of this series. But this success in the prison is why Joseph is such an inspiring story. Because what was he doing? He's caring for his fellow inmates while facing one of our deadliest temptations. The why me's. Why me? Oh man, that's deadly. Because we are never more likely to despair than when life is unfair. He's got to be thinking, right? This is all my goodness gets me? This is what following God, what serving God gets? You know, it's the old no good deed goes unpunished, right? He's got to be thinking, I should have just slept with her. I should have just slept with her. I wouldn't be in prison. That's a wrestling match that goes on inside each one of us. And that is a wrestling match that we all need to have so that we can sort out who it is that we are really serving. And why? We need the unjust pit. He probably thought, you know, when he was resisting the missus, he probably thought, oh, God's going to reward me with a wife of my own. Instead, he got a ball and chain. Not me. And yet, he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his unjust master's house, hey, why are your faces so sad today? There's the power. There's the testimony. There's everything. There's a secret to life right there. Why are your faces so sad today? Because we're in prison? Better question. Why isn't yours? See, if you're doing Christianity right, that's what the world wants to know. Why isn't yours? Oh, it's because he's finding purpose in serving and caring in spite of his own condition. It's kind of unheard of. That's when our light shines brightest in the darkness. And so this week, I'm just drilling down. What is the power that can enable you and me to do this in the midst of our own suffering? What is it? What's the trick? And I found it in a word. Trust. Trust. This is the power source. Joseph had the foresight to rest in what he knew hindsight would eventually prove. You know, because we all look back and go, oh, I see that God walked me through it. And see, you can do that anywhere, anytime, under any conditions. He has no idea. We have hindsight. He has no idea the next chapter of his life, literally the next chapter of his life, just takes off like a rocket of a miraculous rise to power, along with blessing upon blessing beyond imagination, right? He didn't know, but we're told when two full years had passed, the cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Hey, today I am reminded by who? The Lord. It was his time. Today I'm reminded of a young Hebrew." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders." That's very abbreviated, but it's kind of fun to look at it like that. 2 full years. Hey, I'm reminded. Hey, you're in charge of Egypt. It's the abbreviated version, but that to say that the pit is always about something deeper than the pit. Right? Just as suffering is always about something beyond the suffering. So, don't sit in your pit and sulk, or you'll miss out. Because an unjust pit is just the thing to show the world that you actually have what they desperately need. Peace in the storm. And comfort in the pain. And this closeness in the aloneness. And joy in the sorrow. In other words, hope. Hope in whatever waterless pit of despair. And this isn't only your moment to shine. It's the best time for you to see for yourself. Look at yourself and see who you're really serving. God or yourself? Because if it's yourself, you leave God behind in the pit. And if it's God, if you're, "No, I'm serving God." Well, then there's still another question, and that's why. To get what you want or to become what God wants? Because he's got you in your unjust pit to change you. And if you're like, "No, I haven't left God. He's my only hope of getting out of here. Get me out, God, get me out." It's like, but are you asking him to show you why you're in the pit? It's like the opposite of the "why me" is the "what now." Okay, here's a story I've never told you. It's how I became your pastor. 1997, you're my pit. In 1997, that kid was asked to step up as senior pastor. And I said, because I had more sense than it looks like, absolutely not. No. And our district supervisor at the time called, said he wanted to take me out to lunch to talk me into it. And I said, "Well, you can buy me lunch, but there's no way you can talk me into it." Because I'd worked here 14 years as dad's administrator. I knew what the job entailed. And I had other ambitions. This was not on my dance card. No. Uh-uh. And so he takes me to lunch. And we're both kind of laughing. And he says, "So I guess we know what's going on here." And I said, "Uh-huh." I said, "So give it your best shot." And he says, "First, I just want to know if you want to follow God's will in your life." Said, "Yes, absolutely, I do. No question. But I have no idea what it is. I just know I don't want to do that." He says, "Well, would you follow God's will if he made it clear, no matter what it was?" And I said, "Yeah, of course, because I want to follow God's will." Then he asked if God had made it clear that he did not want me to be the pastor. And I said, no. I said, "That's the problem. Everyone's pulling me in directions. I don't know what he wants. I don't know what his will is. I just know I don't want to do it." And then he said, "In all my years, I've only found one way to know God's will in my life." And I said, "What's that?" And he says, "Hindsight give me 2 years as a pastor, and you won't even need to pray. You will absolutely know if that was God's will or not. And if it's not, he says, I'll get you out of there so fast, and you will get credit from God for seeking his will. It's a no-lose situation. And he says, and if you don't do it, you'll never know if it was. So I'll just sum that up by saying that those 2 full years is how I was tricked, I mean convinced, to become your pastor. And now it's going to be 30 years next April. That's crazy. Thank you. Actually, I should be applauding you because you're an incredible church to serve. You're what made me do it. It's like 2 years with you guys. It's like, I can't leave them. I still don't like writing sermons and stuff, but I love you. I love, and here's the thing. Here's what I found out. And a lot of speakers and teachers can say it's not special to me, but here's what I found out. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news in order to heal. To heal the brokenhearted. I love doing that. And to proclaim liberty to the captives who are oppressed. That's everyone and all of us down here. So hear this loud and clear. The real tragedy is not serving time in the unjust pit. We all have our cross to bear. The real tragedy is wasting time worrying or killing time serving ourselves while we're there. Because that's where the real power is. Oh, you serve when you're in your pit? The world is your oyster, for it has been granted to you. You're commissioned right here on behalf of Christ himself, not only to believe on him, good job, but also to suffer for him, because that's when people see the light. You're commissioned. It's been granted. I actually started the sermon by putting that scripture after my little testimony. So it would have been in that 2 years is how I was convinced to be pastor. Where is it? For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but to suffer. Because of the blood of my covenant, God says, with you, guess what I'll do? I will set your prisoners, your co-prisoners, I will set your prisoners free from the old waterless pit, just like Joseph. So return to your stronghold. You know, you're in prison. Well, return to your stronghold, oh prisoners of hope. And you go, wait, we're in prison? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to free others? Mm-hmm. Get them in the stronghold. There's a stronghold in my prison? Mm-hmm. What's the stronghold? Oh, the Lord. The Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. So return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Oh, for he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, especially in the pit. So this is how the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. Because the whole world is under a curse. We, you and I, we are therefore in this together, in this groaning creation together, as Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. It's like, they got what you need, world. So please, don't be confused by early results, okay? Because he is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine. And that might just be the most comforting verse in the Bible. So let's read it together. He is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine. You think what Joseph might be asking at that point? Hey, just get me out of here and maybe a wife and some kids. I was like, oh man. Yeah, your problem is you want too little. But why did he not give us the ability to even imagine what he's accomplishing? Because then we couldn't grow in faith and trust. That's what we're doing here. We wouldn't be able to grow in faith and trust that when we see him, we'll fully know and understand in hindsight and agree with his mind-blowing plan. And then every one of you, including myself, will get to see our very own personal list of but-to-do-thats. Do you know what a but-to-do-that is? Let's take Joseph's example. Because first, let's start now. Now let's just hit the highlight, okay? When the Lord first really began to fulfill little Joe's teenage God-given dreams of greatness. And boy, does he fulfill. But it's right when he begins. It's ultimately going to bring his family into the land of Goshen and raise them up and transform them into a chosen nation. But right now, we're just beginning. Pharaoh dressed Joseph in robes of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck, had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. But to do that, Pharaoh had to see him in action. But to do that, Pharaoh had to have a reliable recommendation. But to do that, the royal butler had to see Joseph in action. But to do that, little Joe, though perfectly innocent, had to be sent to the royal prison. But to do that, the missus had to make those false allegations. But to do that, she and he had to share a house. But to do that, Potiphar had to purchase him as a slave. But to do that, the Ishmaelites had to kidnap him and take him to Egypt. But to do that, his brothers had to betray him and sell him. But to do that, they really had to hate him. But to do that, he had to be really arrogant and hateable. And to do that, the Lord simply gave a teenager God-given dreams of greatness. Full circle. Our Father will not ever mess with our free will. But he sure knows how to position us like dominoes and just let human nature take its course. Well, you got your own personal list of but-to-do-thats, and God can't wait to share it with you. But that's why when a humble Joseph finally revealed himself to his brothers, he said, hey, guess what? Turns out, this is what I've learned. It was not you who sent me here. Underneath it all, it was God. He's made me a father to Pharaoh and rule over all the land of Egypt, you know, but to do that. And there it goes. Do you want to follow God's will? Do you want your created purpose fulfilled? Because first and foremost, if you really do, then you have got to learn to accept God's unpleasant and unattractive answers to your prayers and your problems. And stop wasting time and faith asking, why? Why? Here's an obvious observation that's so easily overlooked by all of us. When you hit the bottom of that unjust pit, stop looking down. I'm sure on the way down, at which all Joseph could think, why me? Why me? Lord, why me? But once he checked in, once he was there on ground level, that's when he looked up and obviously asked, what now? What now? And the answer for him was, run the prison with righteousness. As far as he knew, that was the rest of his life. So Joseph approached his new post in the pit like Job, who famously said, hey, though he slay me, he's in charge. He's the boss. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because we don't get to choose how we die, just how we live. So don't abandon your post in the pit. Because we also don't get to choose if we'll stay in the pit, just if we will stay in God's will. And I, the Lord, he says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeon, the boar, the pit, those who sit in darkness. Get to it. It's called in righteousness. Here's the rule of righteousness. Very simple rule. The rule of righteousness. Do what's right. Do what's right. And if you do, eventually, maybe not until eternity, you'll get to see in hindsight why and how it was so right. I was so glad I did what was right because now I can see it was so right. Otherwise, you can never know. You can never know what God was planning concerning your created purpose and your specific role in everyone's eternal best. So just think of trust as a head start on hindsight. Because trust allows us to live in the peace that foresight tells us we're destined to have in hindsight. Because we, you and I, we know that we know that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose, you know, set the captives free around you. But here's the thing. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, says the Lord. And my thoughts than your thoughts. That's just how it is. So trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, which means don't lean on your own understanding. Because the God of all comfort, that's our Father. It's who we serve. The God of all comfort comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. Where's wrong? Because He's our stronghold in the day of trouble. Oh, prisoners of hope. He's not asking us to ignore our pain. No, deal with what needs to be dealt with. But simply to comfort and care for others in spite of it. Because that's where the power is. The world has always defined success by circumstances. You know, the more comfy your current conditions, the more successful you are. But you serve a God who defines success by two things. Our trust in Him and our care for others. And that, right there, that is why sometimes it's impossible to understand or even imagine how God's going to right the wrongs. But here's the thing. If we spend that time trusting Him and serving others, He won't waste our pain. He'll invest it. And one day when you get your list of but to do that, you'll go, oh my goodness, so glad I did what was right. So what do you say we get a head start right now in the peace that hindsight's bound to bring by praying? Lord, Father God, we love You, we trust You, and we want to become what You want. So Holy Spirit, inspire us and empower us to live a life that is purposeful, meaningful, joyful and hopeful. And Lord Jesus, we just thank You. We're going to praise You now for comforting us and others through us. And everybody said,
amen. Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.